I've always said it, and I will always be saying it. Go Pack, go.
Jeff, the actual Packers fan on the podcast.
That's right. Oh, no.
That's right. Wrong.
No. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Football Obscurity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-hosts Walker Kelly and Mike Valverde. Walker Kelly, who believes in the 49ers more than I do, folks.
So true.
He does.
Walker watching clips of Brock Purdy dugging and going, you know what? This white boy's got a little motion.
Just enough.
That was the best way I could describe Brock Purdy's dugging. Just enough motion. Mm-hmm. Walker, how you doing today?
Oh, not bad. I've done a frankly shocking amount of preparation for the second segment of the episode.
Let's go! Mike, how are you?
I'm good. I found internet poker again.
Ooh.
Damn.
Where are we playing internet poker, Mike? Are we playing for Bitcoin?
No. Well, there is an option for Bitcoin, but I play for real money.
Ooh,
real cash.
How do you play poker online for real cash? I thought that was illegal. I thought that was the whole Poker Stars or was it Full Tilt Poker thing?
Yeah, that whole thing. I guess they overturned it or what? I don't know how it's different now or what transpired, the difference between that. And I think it was called Black Monday or something like that.
Yeah, Black Monday. Yeah. Or Black Friday, something like that, where everybody's accounts just got whoop. There, it's all gone.
Gone, yes. And get your money out as soon as possible. Bovado, you can line up, get, you know, all you need is your typical bank account and away you go.
Let's go. Cool. That's awesome. I am wondering if I'm going to go dive back into that. I used to do that a bunch back in the day. Chris Moneymaker style.
Hell yeah.
All right. Chris Moneymaker, just the perfect name for everybody to be like, I could win. I could be a moneymaker. I could literally be a moneymaker.
That's right.
Yeah, but you probably can't.
All right. So speaking of things that probably can't happen, 12 teams making it out of this week. Probably can't happen, but six will. It's Wild Card weekend, folks. They dropped the super because I thought that was always weird that they called it that.
It was
super
weird.
Super Wild Card weekend. How is it different from regular Wild Card weekend? They got rid of a bye.
That's right. There's more games. Is that good? I don't know.
But we got six games to talk about. We're going to go through them all in our normal progression where we have questions that we're looking for, questions of the group. And then at the end, we're bringing it back from last year. Friend of the pod. Oh, actually, Brian's never been on the pod. Friend of the website, Brian Sklar. Runs a annual fantasy football playoff challenge where you can one and done a player. You can only use them one time. And remind me who won last year?
We kicked its ass last year.
Yeah, I believe it was us.
Would it be the brain chest of a Kelly Valverde and Crisco?
Hell yeah.
I believe it was. KVK for the win.
KVK, that's right. So we're going to try to run it back this year. We're going to do that at the second half of the episode. And then we'll just, say goodbye because it's not the regular season. So we don't have to be like, all right, we're going to have two 2.5-hour episodes a week. So, all right, we're going to go in chronological order and, we're going to start with Saturday's games. And, the first one is going to be, I'm definitely not delaying cause I, didn't have the screen up, is going to be, Rams and Panthers. Chilling out there in that Saturday 1 p.m. slot was called Westivus by Around the NFL podcast because that's when Chris Wessling, a Bengals fan, that was when they would always put the Bengals, was the first Saturday game, just like, let's just get this out of the way.
It was the Marvin Lewis Bengals, then it was the Texans for a while.
Yeah.
Now maybe they're starting a new thing where it's going to be NFC South champion.
Probably. And I think at least once it was Texans and Bengals. Like there was like a
yes, I'm almost positive you're right.
There was a passing of the torch. So let's start there. Rams at Cardinals. Very funny that the Rams are at the Cardinals. But it's a 46.5 point over under. Rams 10.5 point favorites. The biggest spread of the weekend by far. And so injuries in this one for the Rams, Kevin Dotson, Jordan Whittington are both out. Terrence Ferguson, Josh Wallace are questionable. For the Panthers, Chandler Zavala is out with a calf injury. And we're going to start with Mike and Mike's question. Mike, what is your question for this game?
Matthew Stafford over under 2.5 touchdowns.
Ooh, so let's see. What did he do last time that they played other than multiple turnovers?
I don't remember. The Rams scored 28, I think. So he could have had a lot of touchdowns too.
So when he played, he had 243 passing yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions, and 2 sacks on 28 pass attempts. And he rushed 1 time for -1 yard. And he fumbled. So multiple passing touchdowns. I think I'm going to go with over under 2.5. I'm going to go with 3. I will go with 3 because the Panthers winning that game last time, it took a lot of just nipping drives in the bud that I don't think that's going to happen this time. I think those drives are going to come to fruition. And when they get to the in and around the goal line, it's Davante Adams time, which means it's also Matthew Stafford time. So, you know, they have struggled lately on offense. They haven't been like, oh, this team is by and far, far and away the best team in the NFL. They are very close to it. Like they're still probably the best team in the NFL, but they're not far and away. So they're still going to score a ton of points. And I think that means it's going to be Matthew Stafford passing. And so I'm going to say yes, over 2.5 touchdowns.
I will also go over. I'll say 3 as well. I'm a little concerned about Kevin Dotson still being out, but that concerns me a bit more for the run game than the pass game. Carolina's pass defense is not too bad, but I think they can attack Mike Jackson a little bit. I think they should be able to attack these linebackers with their heavy personnel as well. I'll say Stafford gets 3 touchdowns. I think this one's going to be kind of a blowout.
Yeah, I think it's going to be one of those ones where it's not really, it's like 14-17 at halftime. And like the Panthers are going to start with the ball. And it's like, oh, you know, this could be a game. And then it's just going to be a Rams deluge in the second half.
I don't even think that. I think,
oh, really?
No, I think it's going to be like a 4-score win.
Ooh. All right.
We're going Abraham Lincoln on their ass. Yeah,
I was going to say, going Abe Lincoln mode of 4 scores. Or Kevin Hart, annoying Kevin Hart commercial. What's the spread? 4 scores. That's not a spread, Kevin Hart.
That's true.
That's not a spread.
Doesn't know what he's talking about. And he should with all the gambling ads he does.
Well, to be fair, he's in literally every commercial. Every commercial on television has Kevin Hart in it.
They just put the script in front of him and he reads it.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, what is this? I'm an elf on the shelf in this one. Don't know what that is. All right, Mike, what are your thoughts on your own question?
Yeah, I think Rams are going to blow Carolina out of the water. This should easily be Stafford 3-touchdown kind of game for him.
So we all agree. So I'm going to ask you both this. This is a question I'm springing on both of you. What players from the Rams are on the short list for this week's playoff? Are you going to are we going to burn one of them, or are we going to hang on to them for next week?
So I was looking at specifically Blake Corum.
Okay.
Because I think this could be a blowout, so I think Corum could get some mop-up work.
Ooh, that's not a bad call.
And I think otherwise he might not be super usable the rest of the playoffs, but in this game specifically, Carolina's run defense is worse than their pass defense. Corum is a solid player, and if the Rams do win big, good chance he scores a touchdown. Good chance he runs the ball a lot in the fourth quarter.
Okay, I'm going to see if there's a flex in this because I think there's 2 running backs that we need to be using this week. So let me see. Is there a flex available? Or is it exactly 2 running backs? Let's see. What do we got? So it's no flex. Uh-oh, Walker. We're going to be at logger. Oh, you can start up to 3 running backs. Let's go. Okay. Cool. All right. So, Mike, any guys on the short list do you think? Stafford, Puka, Kyren, Devontae Adams?
Is Devontae going to play?
Yeah, Devontae's off the injury report. He's playing.
Oh, that's good news. What do you mean by short list? What does that mean?
Like guys that you're like for the playoff challenge this week, are you like, oh, I'm kind of interested in maybe getting this guy into the lineup this week?
Puka or Stafford would be the only two I would say. Okay. I would like to see.
Yeah. And we're gonna figure out too when we get to that playoff challenge, because we have a strategy of burning quarterbacks only on one side of the bracket, and then leaving the other side for the Super Bowl, so we don't get caught with our pants down. So we'll figure that out. So the other side, we've got the Panthers, and that's my question. So this team did play back in five games ago. I'm sorry. So that would have been week 14. Can I do math? Yeah, I can do math. All right. And my question for this one is, why are my notes all out of order? Why did I do this way? All right. My question for this one is, who has the better chance or the best chance of repeating their game from last time? Jalen Coker, Tetaroa McMillan, Chuba Hubbard, or Rico Dowdle? So I'm going to give you both the rundown of their lines from last time. And I want you to let me know who you think has the best chance of repeating their line. So we'll start with Chuba, 17 carries for 83 yards, 2 targets, 2 catches, 41 yards, and a touchdown. Rico Dowdle, 18 for 58, 2 targets, 2 catches, 21 yards. Jalen Coker, 4 catches on 6 targets, 74 yards, and a touchdown. Tetaroa McMillan, 1 catch on 2 targets, 43 yards, and 1 touchdown. Who do we think has the best chance of repeating their lines?
I'm going to go with Rico Dowdle.
Rico Doodoo. All right, Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I'll also go with the Doodoo Man.
Okay, so including this game, over their last 5 games, Rico Dowdle has 12 carries for 41, or is averaging 12 carries for 41 yards, 3 targets, 3 catches, 13 yards, with 1 touchdown in the last 5 games. Would you like to keep this option or trade for another one?
No, I'm going to keep that, because that's pretty much just like a slightly worse version of the previous game. So I'm going to stick with it, I think.
Okay, Mike, what do you think?
I'm going to stick with it.
Okay, cool. So for reference, Chuba had 8 for 32, 2 targets, 2 catches, 14 yards, and 1 touchdown in the last 5 games. Do not play Chuba Hubbard in any sort of playoff challenge. He is.
Oh.
Yeah, he has become the 1B. All right, and I have a secondary question for you both that I am springing on you. Is Jalen Coker a better play than Tetaroa McMillan? So over their last 5 games, Jalen Coker, 4 catches, 48 yards, and 3 touchdowns on 5 targets per game. I'm sorry, averaging 4 for 48 on 5 targets with 3 total touchdowns. Tetaroa McMillan also averaging 5 targets, 3 catches for 46 yards, but only 2 touchdowns. Jalen Coker's first time over 4 targets was 5 games ago. And he's had over 4 targets in each of the last 5 games. And Tetaroa McMillan's first time under 5 targets was also 5 games ago. So is Jalen Coker a better play than Tetaroa McMillan?
That's a good question.
In terms of value wise, yes, because he's going to be a lot cheaper.
Yeah, that's a good point. I like that, because he is going to be a lot cheaper.
Correct. That is the correct answer. If you are doing DFS, yes. That was the correct answer. You got it. You got it in one. Because Jalen Coker is a less expensive option on daily fantasy. So he's also kind of a I'm lost the word.
What are you trying to say?
Contrarian.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
because I could very much see this game being like 38 to 14, but one of those 2 touchdowns being a Jalen Coker score, and because the Panthers are chasing the whole game, he ends up with like 5 for 85 and a score or something.
Yeah, exactly. This game, I mean, every over under is within a few points. They're all within, except for Buffalo, Jacksonville, they're all, and Houston, Pittsburgh, all the other games are within a few points. Carolina has, you know, their implied total is extremely low. And you'll think that, you know, people aren't going to want to try to get options from this game. So I think that Jalen Coker is a good contrarian play. So you got the correct answer. I was surprised for it to be that just like laser focused in there.
So why would you be surprised? Mike and I are on the ball 100% of the time.
Dang. 100%. That's how that's what the kids are saying. Yeah. So on draft. Yeah, they are.
I don't think they should be saying it like that, honestly.
They
like,
say 100.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm saying I don't like that they're doing that.
You're saying I disagree with the phrasing of the kids that the kids are using.
Yeah. Well, you know, I did just recently turn 30. So,
yeah. Walker officially chopped, washed, and unk.
All washed now? Come on.
Yeah. Come on.
Unbelievable.
All right. So, any player for DFS, for the playoff challenge that we're intrigued by on the Carolina Panthers?
Literally only Coker.
Yeah, maybe. And it might be a Blake Corum situation where we were like, let's not burn a better player. Let's get this guy out of the way. All right. So we all have the Rams in this one. Anything to add for the Rams and the Panthers?
I mean, Panthers are here basically on a technicality.
Yeah.
Get him out of my face.
Yeah. Rip and piss, bozos, after this week. There's never been a game where people said that the team didn't deserve to be in the playoffs involving an NFC South team where that team won. And of course, I'm referring to the Beastquake. Where Marshawn Lynch ran all over the New Orleans Saints.
So basically, we just need Rico Dowdle to have a Beastquake game.
Correct.
I don't think so.
Putting all my house, putting my house up on a Rico Dowdle Beastquake game.
Do not do that. Not financial advice.
I Rico doubt it.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah, he went from Rico without a Dowdle to Rico doubt it.
He went from Rico Wowdle back to Rico Doodoo.
All right, let's talk about the game that will have Walker's blood boiling. The Seethe Bowl. Two yes. NFC North teams.
Hey, no. This is the hate fest because one of them's got to lose.
That's true. No matter every bad thing that happens, Walker will be sitting on a throne with a goblet cackling wildly.
It can only good happen.
That's right.
All right. Green Bay's at Chicago. Green Bay 9-7-1. Chicago 11-6. Packers 1.5-point road favorites, which weird. 45.5-point over under. Mike doesn't think it's weird. Mike's picking the Packers. But they'll have to do it without Dondavian Wicks, who has a concussion. Javon Bullard, Warren Brinson, Nick Neiman, Zach Tom, and Malik Willis are all questionable. So Matt LaFleur can't use his favorite quarterback in this one. For the Bears, CJ Gardner-Johnson, Amon Abong-Bamiga, Joe Tryon-Shoyinka, Kyler Gordon, and Braxton Jones are all questionable. Why did I stumble over Braxton Jones? I don't know. All right. So, Walker, your question is about the Green Bay Packers.
Is this team too hurt to compete?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see, I think so, too. And that's why the line has me surprised as well. Like, on balance, I think the Packers are a better constructed team right now than the Bears are, but with the Parsons injury, especially on defense, has really kind of made them a bit toothless on that side of the football. Mm-hmm. I just think Williams is going to have too much time to sit back and pick his receivers.
Not only are they too toothless on the defensive side of the ball without Micah Parsons, they really have been left kind of struggling. Like, not to score points so much, but to, like, have a, like, consistent offensive identity without Tucker Kraft. Like, without Tucker Kraft, it's been like, all right, we're going to go as far as Josh Jacobs can take us, and if Christian Watson is going to catch these deep balls.
Yeah. I mean, they're playing variance ball, basically. Like, it's just like, maybe Josh Jacobs will pop a 25-yard run, or maybe Christian Watson will get an explosive pass play. If not, then we have to win 17-16.
Yeah, and to be fair, against this Bears defense, it is entirely possible that happens.
It's true.
Yeah, this Bears defense is not good, folks. Saw it up close and personal. It was like both quarterbacks in the Bears-Niners game were playing on rookie mode in Madden. So
yeah, 7-on-7 shit.
Yeah, that was real 7-on-7 shit. So I think they're too banged up to compete. Mike, you obviously have a different opinion because you have them winning this game. So what has you picking the Packers in this one?
Actually, I changed it back to the Bears.
Whoa!
Bullying works.
Yeah, it does.
We bullied Mike out of the Packers, or out of picking the Packers. So let me ask you this, Mike. What led you to originally pick the Packers?
I like their defense, even though Parsons is hurt. They still play a very good defense. Malik Willis has looked good while being part Jordan of the Love. Offense. And so might even be better than Jordan Love.
The thought was kicking around in my brain. I'm just saying.
So it'll be interesting to see what they do with him because I think he's a free agent this year.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So yeah, it was just those combination of things, and then like you mentioned, the Bears' defense is atrocious. So when you're playing in a playoff situation, the last thing you need for your playoff team is to have a really bad defense.
Yeah, and trust me, I know all about that. Speaking of bad defense, update: it is currently 42-7 Indiana.
Oh yeah,
jeez,
just buzzsawing through the Ducks. All right, so is there any player on the Packers that I feel like this is a team that we're going to want to try to get a player from? But the problem is there's too many running backs that are going to be good this round. I feel like the best player option is Josh Jacobs. So is there any player?
I don't want to play Josh Jacobs with as inefficient and injured as he has looked.
Okay, that's fair. So is there any player on the Packers that we want to try to short, like we feel good about playing this week?
I mean, I guess against this defense, I think Christian Watson could be an option, but I wouldn't say I'm super confident in that.
Okay. Mike, any guys that you're like, let's try to get this guy into the lineup this week from the Packers?
No.
Okay. I'm kind of with Walker on Christian Watson because, Christian Watson is burning a player for us that's not going to make it all the way to the Super Bowl, and it's going to prevent us from playing like Tutu Atwell, for example, in the Super Bowl.
Here's the question then, Mike. Would you, if it came to it, would you rather play Jalen Coker or Christian Watson?
Ooh.
Probably Christian Watson.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think I would too.
Yeah. More variance, but we can make up for that, you know. Why not both? Why can't it be both?
I mean, I guess it depends on the situation, but I think probably it won't be.
Yeah, I think so too. All right, Mike, let's talk about the Bears a little bit.
Yeah, so does DeAndre Swift score a touchdown?
Yes.
Walker just says one. He just one. I say he scores 1.1 touchdowns.
Okay.
Do you not like that answer?
No, I don't like that. I don't know what that means.
Okay, I was just checking. I was stalling because I wanted to see how many touchdowns the Packers allowed this year. 13 rushing and no receiving touchdowns.
Running backs?
Yeah, to running backs.
Yeah.
One of three teams allow no receiving touchdowns to running backs. Can you name the other two?
Probably not.
Okay. Mike, can you?
No.
The Colts and the Jets.
What'd you say? The Colts and the Jets?
Yeah.
The Chargers and the Vikings.
Oh.
Doesn't mean anything at all. Just interesting. I'm going to say, yeah, he'll score a touchdown. Why not? We just got done saying the Packers defense is incredibly toothless. They've allowed, like I said, the 10th most running back touchdowns this year. So yeah, DeAndre Swift will score one. He'll kick one in.
That'd be cool.
Mike's like, I would like that to happen.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
All right. So on this in this passing game, we got three guys to worry about. We got Rome, we got Luther Burden, and we have DJ Moore. How would you rank those three in this game?
I just, with Rome having not played in a long time, I think you got to put him third.
Okay.
And then with the other two guys, when they've both played, Burden has been the more explosive. So I'm going to go Burden 1, Moore 2, Odunze 3.
All right, Mike, what do you think?
I'm going to go Burden, Rome, and then DJ Moore.
Wow. DJ Moore. Get shit on. Get shit on. Wide receiver 3. Luther Burden has really come on lately over the last 4 games. He is averaging 5 catches, 81 yards, and he has 1 touchdown in those games. I really think Luther Burden is the one to play here. He is also the most expensive. Actually, he's not the most expensive of the three. I take that back. He is the cheapest of the three, the opposite of what I said. He's the cheapest of the three.
I like
that. On DraftKings, he's $4,600. DJ Moore is 53 and Rome is 58, which is wild.
How much is Christian Watson?
Christian Watson, let me look that up. Christian Watson is $4,900. So he's between Burden and DJ Moore.
Would you rather have Christian Watson or Luther Burden?
For DFS, I'd probably rather have Christian Watson. And honestly, for the playoff challenge too, I'd probably also rather have Christian Watson because I think the Bears are going to keep going. So I'd rather use up that chip.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
Good point.
Mike, what do you think? Christian Watson or Luther Burden? Which one would you rather play this week?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think Watson's the play.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. For like the projection, it is Luther Burden is projected very high. The scoring is just like out of control on him. It doesn't make any sense. So I don't know what's going on there. All right. Do we want to play Caleb, either of these running backs, Colson Loveland, any of these guys? I think that they're all like kind of mid options.
Yeah, I mean, I could see maybe Loveland. I don't think you need to play the running backs.
Okay. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree with Walker.
Yeah, I don't think there's a lot of upside to these running backs because Swift could score a touchdown, but like Monengai is getting all the carries between the 20s. So it's like the most hideous split that you have possible. It's like just give one guy all the touches, please. Or give all the guy that's getting all the touches some goal line carries. Do one or the other. You know, because it's a recipe for the backfield scoring 20 fantasy points and it's 10 and 10. Instead of what you want, which is like 15 and 5. So
exactly. Yeah, that it's kind of a mess.
Yeah. So, all right, we've got the Bears winning this one in a clean sweep. So let's go to bed, get up in the morning, have your coffee, do whatever. If you're on the East Coast, have some lunch. Disgusting behavior to have lunch before the first football game of the day.
Sorry, I'm going to be eating a sandwich, boss.
What? A breakfast sandwich, of course.
No, it'll probably be like turkey and pesto and cheese or some shit.
That is an elite sandwich combo. A little white cheese in there.
Woo! Oh yeah, it's gonna be like a Dubliner.
I'm listening. I am sat and I am listening. All right, we got Walker will be eating this sandwich and eating this game. Walker's game of the week: Buffalo at Jacksonville. Buffalo 12-5. Jags 13-4. Buffalo 1.5 point home favorite. I'm sorry, road favorites. 51.5 point over under. I just assumed Buffalo would be at home, even though they have a worse record.
That is because fair.
It's literally the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's why. all right. So for the Bills, Terrell Bernard, Maxwell Hairston, Damar Hamlin are all out. For Damar Hamlin, it says died again. That's weird. Ty Johnson, Josh Palmer, right. Matt Prater, and Jack Thompson are questionable. For the Jags, Cole Van Lanen is questionable. Cool name. Not a guy I've ever heard of.
But he played at Wisconsin.
Of course you know that. You know everything.
Don't.
All right. So my question is, who wins? James Cook or the Jags run D? And of course, you know I have some stats to go with this. So the Jags run defense is legit. They are elite. They allow the 5th lowest yards per carry on the season, 3.94. They allow the fewest rushing yards per game, 85.6. They allow the 2nd lowest explosive run rate, 2.7. They, I'm trying to figure out the best way to phrase this. They miss the 3rd fewest tackles per attempt. I think I got there. And they have the second lowest yards after contact per attempt allowed. Okay. So there's no split here for man, gap, and zone schemes. They're elite at stopping both. They're elite at stopping man blocking schemes and very good at stopping zone schemes. And James Cook is very good at both. He's like 10th to 12th in both in yards per carry. But here's the thing. Among 49 backs with at least 100 carries, James Cook was second in yards per carry, first in rushing yards per game, 5.25 and 95.4 respectively, 15th in explosive run rate, 5.2%, 24th in missed tackles forced per attempt, 0.16, and 10th in yards after contact per attempt, 2.45. Who wins? The Jags run defense or James Cook?
I am going to say the Jags run defense wins more often than James Cook wins.
Okay. But is James Cook going to break some long ones?
I think he'll get a couple explosives. Like, I think he'll have like a 30-yarder and a 20-yarder.
Okay, 30-yarder and 20-yarder. All right, so Jags down to down, more explosive, but James Cook overall productive.
Yeah, I would say evens out in the end, kind of.
Okay. Mike, what do you think?
I think he'll get about 70 yards rushing.
About 70 yards rushing. Okay.
I will say in my headcanon, I was thinking 74, so pretty much right on.
Walker's headcanon. Walker writing fanfic about the Jacksonville run defense.
Me. Do not tempt me. Those linebackers, buddy, they're doing great things together.
All right, what's the hockey show?
Heated rivalry.
Heated rivalry. We're doing that, but with the linebacking core in Jacksonville.
Yeah, it's not alleging anything about Foyisade Oluokun or Devin Lloyd.
They are.
They're very good football players.
They're very good football players. All right. James Cook's line on Sleeper is 80.5 rush yards.
I think you got to hit that under.
He's got to slam that MF and under, is what Walker said. All right. That is what I said. All right. So that was my question for that game. So, Walker, this is the game of the week. Why don't you go through some details here? We all got the Jags winning this one. So I want to know, I'm going to ask you first. Are we going to burn?
Not Mike.
Oh, yeah. You and I do. Not Mike. Do we feel like we're going to burn Josh Allen in this one? Use him up. Nom, 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 nom.
I'm not sure because we haven't decided which
AFC or NFC?
Yeah, which conference. So I think we got to wait on that. But
okay.
I do think the way to beat this Jacksonville defense is on the outside. And that's why I'm picking Jacksonville, because Buffalo tends to win in the middle of the field. Mm-hmm. And with the run game and with the tight ends, throwing to the running backs, Khalil Shakir over the middle. Their outside receivers are, you know, Keon Coleman and Brandon Cooks. Not great. So I think the matchup works out better for Jacksonville than it does for Buffalo.
Okay. So, Mike, you have Buffalo winning this one. What's your thought process there?
I just like Josh Allen and that Buffalo offense. Jacksonville's defense is good, but I just think that Buffalo offense is going to be a little too much.
That's kind of how it was against the Patriots. I like, if you remember the 35-31 game, the Bills came back and won because they just kind of overwhelmed New England in the second half. That's possible here. And I definitely think that, like, this is my favorite matchup of the first round. I think it's, obviously, I picked it as game of the week. I think it's really either one of these teams could win the conference.
Yeah.
Upon winning this game, I really think whoever comes out of this game might be the favorite in the AFC. So it's a tough one to pick. Both teams could win it. Both teams have played very well at times this season. If it comes down to it, I'm going to use vibes as the tiebreaker, and Jacksonville's vibes are off the charts right now.
Oh, they are beyond immaculate.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jacksonville's vibes are so good. You got, you know, I mean, Liam Cohen.
But the thing is that, you know, Mike says Josh Allen, and he's right. Like,
yeah,
the Bills have the better quarterback. So sometimes that's all you need.
Mike is 100% correct in going Josh Allen. But yeah, the vibes are off the charts. Liam Cohen doing whatever the exact opposite of Duval is now.
Figured it out, apparently.
Yeah, he figured it out. I mean, this one, I'm picking the Jags for the same reason as Walker. They're on a roll. They've been on a, you know, they've been a buzzsaw. Like, everybody's like, nobody can beat the Denver Broncos except for ball knowers. And then the Jags went into their house and punched him in the mouth. So I'm like, I'm not betting against the Jags until they give me a reason not to. So, and if they give me a reason not to, I can't bet against them because they're out of the playoffs. But since they got Jacoby Myers and Trevor Lawrence went to the wristband, they're undefeated. So, like, that's a tangible change that put them on this winning streak. So, like, earlier in the year, I called him the most fraudulent, I forget the record at the point, most fraudulent team, because they were just forcing a ton of turnovers. And it's like, oh no, now their offense is elite. It's legit. So, all right, who on the Jags would we think about using in this one? I know we haven't decided the quarterback. So, a little Parker Washington, a little Jacoby Myers, Brent Strange, Travis Etienne. Any of those guys piquing any interest?
I know Washington has been the hot guy lately, but I don't like him so much against the Bills because the Bills have Taron Johnson in the nickel, who is quite good. I almost think this would be a game to maybe, like, I don't know, like, use like a Brenton Strange or something, because the Bills linebackers suck.
I would agree, except there is a extremely good line or tight end who will not be playing after this week, unless you're Walker picking the Niners to move on.
Yeah, that's fair.
So it's like, but yeah, I think Brenton Strange. So, like, if you look at DFS costs, so I just have DraftKings stuff up. So George Kittle is 6,200. Brenton Strange is 3,900.
Right. So if you were looking for a different type of construction, if you were looking to kind of punt tight end, I think it'd be an option. But yeah, I mean, if you're going to advocate for Kittle, I'm not going to say no to putting Kittle in my lineup over Brenton Strange.
Exactly. Mike, what do you think? Just straight up not worrying about cost, would you rather play George Kittle or Brenton Strange this weekend?
Let's see. Philadelphia's defense. Buffalo's. I'd go Brent Strange.
Oh, Mike.
Okay.
I think Mike's going full hater mode on the 49ers this weekend.
Always.
Mike's like, that's called every weekend. Full hater yes, mode.
That's right.
All right. So we've talked through it, but just to say, Walker and I are picking Jacksonville. Mike's picking Buffalo. So anything else about this game? Oh, Walker, we forgot to talk about your side of the equation. We were talking about both teams. Walker, what's your question about the Buffalo Bills?
Oh, we pretty much talked about the game. I mean, it was, will Jacksonville's defense force Josh Allen to make mistakes? I think if Allen turns the ball over multiple times, Jacksonville definitely wins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that, I mean, he's getting at least one wild turnover, I think.
Yeah, I feel like he's gonna, like, it's gonna be like one of those plays where you just figure he's gonna complete a 50-yard pass, but then at the last second somebody like jumps in front of it and picks it.
No, Josh, no. And then you use a time machine to undo that play. Because let's be clear, I would rather Buffalo win because I love Josh Allen, but it's like my brain is picking Jacksonville, my heart would pick Buffalo.
I honestly just don't even really care who wins. I will probably root for whoever wins this game to play Seattle in the Super Bowl.
Boo! wrong NFC team. I forgot to do my bit where I was going to talk about, I'm really rooting for both teams in the Packers Chicago game. Whoever wins, I think they're a great franchise to offset Walker, besmirching me, the disgusting act of bandwagoning the Seattle Seahawks.
I have a lot of Seattle friends.
Horrifying. Horrifying. Disgusting. You also have a 49ers fan friend. And I really feel abandoned right now. Look, to be clear, Walker.
Because your quarterback is flexing.
I know. And now he's Dougieing too.
I don't even mind the Dougie. The Dougie's okay. Funny.
Yeah.
Flex is annoying.
To be fair, Walker, you would only be bandwagoning the 49ers for a very short time.
part of it is that I recognize that they are doomed in the long term.
Yeah. I think they're doomed in the short term. Let's talk about that game. Sunday, 1:30 game. Niners go to Philadelphia. Niners are 12-5. Eagles are 11-6. Eagles 4.5-point home favorites. 44.5-point over under. For the Niners, the following players are questionable: Trent Williams, Yetur Gross-Matos, Luke Gifford, D. Winters, Ricky Pearsall, Keon White, and Renardo Green. Ricky Pearsall is on the wrong side of questionable. So I say we don't even consider him for the either DFS or the playoff challenge. And then the 49ers put Tatum Bethune on IR. So the 49ers currently on their active roster have zero inside linebackers that made their initial 53-man roster. So shout out to the Niners, baby. For the Eagles, Lane Johnson is questionable. He's looking to play. He's looking as though he's finally going to make his way back. Aziz Ojulari and Brett Toth, a Star Wars ass name, are both questionable. All right. So my question, and I begged you both, did either of you look up the number, what number the playoff, I'm sorry, the most catches in a playoff game for a running back was? Did either of you look that up?
No,
I did not okay. Look it up.
Perfect. My question is, will Christian McCaffrey vie for the most running back playoff receptions or receiving yards in a game? So with Ricky Pearsall likely out, I wrote this last night. I said he was definitely out, but he's likely out. Trent Williams back. I'm thinking the 49ers are going to lean on Christian McCaffrey in the run game. There are a few reasons why. First, 90% of Brock Purdy's picks this year have come on throwing in breaking routes per next gen stats. Okay. But he completed 72.6% of those passes, the sixth highest rate in the league. However, so we got a fact, a but, and then a however, just while we're keeping this straight. This is a quote from NFL Pro. Quote, the Eagles defense allowed a league low 51.9 completion percentage when defending in breaking routes this season. The lowest rate allowed by typoed by any defense in a season during the next gen stats era. So since 2016, they have been the best defense against in breaking routes. So my thought on that is we're likely to see very little over the middle, and that is going to be a problem. Brock Purdy has the second highest rate of throwing over the middle in the league this season among qualified passers. So he threw over the middle more than anybody else except for one player. Can either of you guess who the number one guy was passing over the middle this season?
Jared Goff.
Jared Goff's Walker's guess. Mike, what's your guess?
Over in the middle? Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence, a little man by the name of McCorkle Jones.
Oh,
jeez.
So the 49ers are just going over the middle. But here's another thing. Christian McCaffrey had 73 receptions on targets thrown beyond the line of scrimmage this season. This is from Next Gen Stats. 35 more than the next closest running back.
Jesus Christ.
The second highest running back was Jahmyr Gibbs with 38. He gained 697 yards and 35 first downs, including 6 touchdowns on those catches. So that is a key part of the offense for the 49ers. And it's going to be a key part of the offense in this game because the thing that they do more than anything else in the passing game simply will not work. So before I tell you the numbers, do you think that Christian McCaffrey will vie for, we'll say, get within one catch of the receptions record for a running back in a playoff game?
I think yes, on the reception specifically.
Okay, Mike, what do you think?
No.
No? Okay. What about receiving yards? Will he get within 15 of the receiving yards record for a running back in a playoff game?
I'm going to go with no on this one.
And I'm going to go no as well.
Okay. So the receptions record is 15.
Oh, Jesus. That's too many.
One at a game that I was literally at. 49ers versus Saints, the crazy NFC, I think that was divisional round game.
Mm-hmm.
Also, James White versus the Chargers in 2019.
I was thinking it might have been James White.
All right. The running back receiving yards record in a playoff game is, and I'm going to be honest with you, a player I've literally never heard of. It was in 1995, January 1st, 1995.
Okay. This is before I was born.
Before Walker was born. 5'11", 200-pound Amp Lee?
Oh, Amp Lee.
Yes. I love Mike how knows. Mike knows it. Yes, dude.
He had 159 receiving yards for the Minnesota Vikings versus the Chicago Bears in the playoffs on January 1st, 1995.
That rocks.
Yeah.
That is so awesome.
Isn't that cool? I was like, who is it? I was like, oh, it's probably like, I looked up the receptions first and I was like, oh, it's probably going to be James White.
Roger Craig.
Yeah. And then I sorted and I was like, who the fuck is Amp Lee? And so I learned Mike, his name's Mike, and
Mike coming in clutch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mike's like, oh yeah, Amp Lee. I had him a few dynasty rosters in the 90s.
That's right.
I would also go by an Amp if my first name was also Anthonia.
Anthonia.
I did not look any further into it. Also, a little connection. He played for the Niners in the early 90s, but did not win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had no idea this man existed. No idea. Kind of just lost in the annals of time. So shout out him. All right. So any Niners that we want to use this week in the playoff challenge? I'm wanting to use a Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle. Those are the guys that I want to use on the Niners this week. Really don't feel like trying to trust a Juwan Jennings or a Brock Purdy.
I agree.
Mike?
No, yeah, I don't even know about Christian McCaffrey, but if we're looking at it, yeah, I'd go Christian McCaffrey. His defense is just really, really good. But
you know,
yeah.
You know what? You're really, really good. That's right. Watch it,
Buckley. Wow.
I'm scared.
In DFS, Christian McCaffrey is the most expensive running back. And George Kittle is the most expensive tight end. So
yeah,
I think Kittle is a pretty obvious play at tight end, especially for playoff challenge.
Yeah, I think so.
I think in terms of a DFS lineup, I probably wouldn't be playing McCaffrey. I do agree with that. But
yeah, I was thinking more playoff challenge.
Right, for playoff challenge when it's one and done. The argument I could see is if the 49ers win that game, then they'll play who's the one seed? Seattle?
Yeah, Seattle.
Oh, that's not
how did better. That go?
That's not better. Okay. Yeah, fair point. So, yeah, probably play McCaffrey.
I realize all of a sudden that I really have to be rooting for the Packers. Because if the Packers and Niners win, then the Packers get to go to Seattle and hit the buzzsaw.
That's true.
So I've always said it, and I will always be saying it. Go Pack, go.
Mm. Mm. Jeff, the actual Packers fan on the podcast.
That's right. Oh, no.
That's right. Wrong.
No.
Jeff, you are so lucky I don't know how to do Photoshop, because... If I did, I would be photoshopping you in a Packers outfit with the Elon Cheesehead on.
No! I think it's very funny that it's the Elon Cheesehead specifically. And it wasn't even intentional. It's just I remember that Elon picture of that dork with the mic, like full-on easy to cut out Cheesehead that was almost like it was pretty much at the same angle you were in that picture. It just stuck in my brain and I was like, oh, that's Walker's Cheesehead. How does it feel knowing the top of your head in that picture is Elon Musk's?
I don't like anything about that picture. The edited one is not good.
It's not good, folks. Not what you're looking for. All right, Mike, your question in this game is about Saquon Barkley.
Yeah. Is Barkley over or under 85 yards rushing?
Mike, I'm mashing that MF and over. Zach Charbonnet converting a 3rd-and-17 run play. I have no faith in this 49ers run defense at all.
Yeah, I really don't either.
Yeah, I'm mashing that over. We're seeing triple digits. He's running for huge plays 10 times, 15 times.
So true. I changed my pick.
Oh, Walker, bullying works. So just, Mike's the only one with a principled stand for the Buffalo Bills.
I mean, pretty good principled stand to go with Josh Allen, I will say.
Yeah.
Principled stand than a guy who is averaging like 3.8 yards a carry.
Was that Christian McCaffrey?
Yes.
Yeah. 49ers run game this year. Disaster.
Not great.
They do it too much. They try to run off they try to do these huge sweeps. I was like, you don't have the dudes for this.
Yeah, they should. It really, Christian McCaffrey's line should be like 8 carries for 32 yards and 20 targets.
Yeah, he should be getting 10 targets, 15 targets.
100%.
Yeah, 100 targets.
100 targets, that's absolutely right. Every play, Christian McCaffrey every play. Target.
Oh, man. All right. So, Mike, what do you think? Over, under 85 yards rushing for Saquon Barkley?
Yeah, I think he'll go over 85.
Yeah. I think, Lane Johnson coming back, too. I think that's going to make a big difference. And Tatum Bethune, he was on the field for that that huge run play, and now his backup's in. I'm sure, Walker, you're on Blue Sky, so I'm sure you saw. Mike, do you know who's the starting linebackers or the linebackers that are likely to get a lot of play this weekend for the 49ers? One's D. Winters. Do you know the other two?
No.
I know one is Eric Kendricks.
Yep.
Is Gifford the other one?
No, Gifford's hurt.
Yeah, I know he's hurt. I didn't know if he was going to play or not. The other one, I legitimately do not know who it is now.
This would be Chargers, Eagles, Cardinals, and Titans legend Kaiser White.
Really?
Yeah, I saw that and I was like, okay. That's bad.
It's not good.
It's not bad. Brother to 49ers legend Kevin White. Did not know they were brothers.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, interesting. All right. Great family at making marginal NFL talent. What if the Watts were 30% worse?
Jesus. That's rough.
Oh, man. All right.
God.
Go ahead.
100 watt versus 60 watt.
Woo! What was that? 100 watt?
Yeah, I said 100 watt versus 60 watt. Yeah.
That's the episode title, folks. I was laughing too hard. I was interrupting you. 100 watt versus 60 watt. Perfect. All right. Perfect. Episode title. All right. Who are we thinking from this team for the playoff challenge? I'm thinking Saquon.
Yeah, I'm thinking Saquon. This doesn't seem like a Jalen Hurts game because I don't really think they're going to need Jalen Hurts to chuck the ball around. I would probably just go Saquon.
Okay, Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, Saquon for sure.
Maybe yeah. Dallas Goedert, maybe.
I think maybe, so in DFS, let's see, Dallas Goedert in DFS is the 5th most expensive tight end between Colson Loveland and Dalton Schultz. Okay. Brent Strange is below him. Then you get into really nasty options. Kincaid, Parkinson, Freiermuth, Gadsden. Maybe Goddard in DFS, but I really feel like because I think the Eagles are going to win, I want to use Saquon Barkley in what's probably going to be his best matchup of the playoffs and then keep my powder dry on the rest of the Eagles.
I agree.
Mike?
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, so we'll have Saquon in the lineup. All right. Don't forget, too, we have to play a coach.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yeah, we have to play a coach. All right. So we all got the Eagles winning this one. Let's talk about Chargers at the Patriots. Chargers 11-6, Patriots 14-3. New England, 3.5-point favorites, 46.5-point over-under. For the Chargers, Kendall Williamson and Keandre Lambert-Smith are both out. Omarion Hampton, Austin Deculus, Bud Dupree, Tucker Fisk, Elijah Molden, and Delshawn Phillips are all questionable. For the Patriots, Kyrus Tonga is out. Harold Landry, Kayshon Booty, Thayer Munford Jr. are questionable. Thayer Munford Jr. with a regatta injury down at the country club.
Regatta injury.
All right, Walker, what is your question for this game?
I mean, I think it's the question that everybody wants to know the answer to. Can Justin Herbert finally win a playoff game?
Not this one.
I kind of don't think so either, but I do think it's going to be really close and entertaining.
I don't know. I mean,
I think this is a Chargers, good matchup for the Chargers, though.
Yeah. I just think without Joe Alt, the offense is just like Duke.
I agree. I think it will be not enough. It's not enough.
It's not enough.
I think it's Herbert will play well. I think he's learned a little bit from previous experiences, but I do think the Chargers simply have not enough healthy bodies on offense.
It's a dude shortage.
Yep.
Same
problem as the Niners. Same problem as the Lions last year. It's just. Yeah. Yeah, dude shortage.
Dude shortage. It happens. Mike, what do you think? Is there a chance that Justin Herbert wins one?
There's a chance, but I don't think it's going to happen this week.
Well, I don't think it's going to happen this year then.
All right. Well,
wait. No, it won't. Yeah, you're right. Because the next playoff games won't be until next year. So
that's correct.
Good point.
All right. So where are we at? All right. So with the Chargers, I don't really feel like using anybody from this team.
I don't either. No, I'm not interested.
Like, we could use Ladd, maybe? Maybe?
No, I don't like it. I mean, I think Herbert would be the only one I would consider, but I'd rather try to just with Josh Allen and a better matchup, higher over under.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. Mike, what do you think? Are you feeling a Ladd or a Josh? I'm sorry, or Justin Herbert?
No, not really.
Yeah, it's just kind of like That's how I feel.
Yeah, like I think the Chargers defense will keep this one closer, and I think Herbert will make a couple crazy plays, but New England, I think, eventually just wears them down and wins like 23-17.
Yeah, just and it could be like a Kamani Vidal touchdown and a like a Rondé Gadsden touchdown. You're like,
great. Right. Oh, they threw it to Trey Harris for some reason.
Will Disley still on this team?
Yeah.
All right.
Big Conk touchdown in the playoffs.
Oh, man. Remember Ty Konkowski?
Ty Konkowski, baby. Let's go.
All right. Yeah, I think that Chargers not much to talk about. Mike, what about the New England Patriots?
Drake May, over or under 250 yards passing.
I'm going to go under.
Me too.
I think this is going to be a real grind of a game, and I think there'll be a lot of rushing. A lot of Ramondre, a lot of Travion.
If you would have said total yards, I think I would have gone over because of his rushing floor. But yeah, I think he'll get over 200 passing yards, but not 250.
Yeah, and I think that's a lot of that's going to be by design, too. I think this is going to be a game where they're just going to try to just let the Chargers make mistakes, and they're going to try to stay away from making mistakes, which means a lot of conservative football, a lot of running it. And Josh Allen, I'm not Josh Allen. God bless it. Every time I say a quarterback, I want to say Josh Allen. He's my king.
Drake May.
Every time Drake May throws the ball, it's not going to be like, he's not going to be airing out. Like, Kayshon Booty's not getting 100 air yards in this one. You know, it's going to be a lot of Hunter Henry And I feel like a lot of Stephon Diggs in the passing game. So,
yes.
Yeah, it'll be like 28 passes and like 21 completions. So that's what, like a little over like 11 yards ish a completion.
Yeah.
So that's not bad. That's like, I feel like that's the wheelhouse. Also, we have Drake May versus old Drake May in this one. Justin Herbert.
That is kind of true, yeah.
All right. Playoff challenge. Any Patriots we want to use?
Yeah.
That's the noise that I made, Mike.
Yeah, not because I think again we might get a better matchup in the future.
Yeah. And these are also two teams that are very similar in the talent distribution and their weapons, where it's like two good running backs, a lot of in the passing game, and then some decent tight ends.
Like, I do think that this game is going to be close and entertaining, but I also would pick the under on 46 and a half. Like, I just think it's on Sunday Night Football. Sunday Night Football is always seems to be bangers this time of year. I think the matchup lends itself to a hard-nosed battle, especially with the coaches, Harbaugh, Vrabel. That's the type of game they're going to want to play. Both quarterbacks can make incredible plays down the stretch, but I do think New England is a little bit better.
Yeah, two coaches that the cameras definitely find. They should put a Harbaugh cam and a Vrabel cam in the corner, just get it out of the way.
You got Vrabel sucking on his teeth the whole time.
Yeah. Oh man.
Our boss just like, huh?
Huh? Getting so mad all the time.
Yeah. He's either huh or he's like
screaming. Or getting timeouts from the refs that he doesn't have. Which is honestly, I think, is the reason why the referee strike ended years ago. Cause do you both know about that?
No.
Oh, it was Jim Harbaugh. It was for Niners versus the Vikings during the referee strike, and he just basically bullied the referees into giving him a timeout he didn't have.
Sounds like Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah. Sounds like the only employed Harbaugh right now, folks.
He is indeed. Well, what about Jay Harbaugh? Isn't he the Seattle special teams coach?
They're like the Kubiaks. I didn't know Jay Harbaugh existed. They're spreading. They're a disease. Which kid is he the kid of?
I don't know. I don't know. But pretty soon we're going to have Jork Harbaugh.
Jork Harbaugh. Jork and Clunk coming to the 2032 Cleveland Browns.
They deserve better. No, they don't.
No, they don't.
Those Nepo babies do not deserve better.
He is the son of Jim Harbaugh. Jay Harbaugh is.
There we go.
This might shock you. This might shock you. But he was an intern for the 49ers.
Damn, that's crazy.
Isn't that crazy? Man, Nepo baby dog. Check this out. So 2008 to 2011, student assistant at Oregon State. Whatever, that's fine. 2012 to 2014, Ravens offensive quality control coach.
You're old. Don't know about Uncle that. John.
Uncle John. Then 2015 to 2016, Michigan tight ends coach. Then Michigan running backs coach, then Michigan special teams coordinator, then Michigan's special teams coordinator and tight end coach, then Michigan special teams coordinator and safety coach, and then the Seahawks.
So this is the first time he's out on his own.
Is he? Who did Mike McDonald coach with?
I know.
Also, Jay Harbaugh looking a little like Scott Simpson now that he's lost weight. That Scott Simpson's lost weight. All right.
This guy looking like nimble with punters.
Oh, man. Very good. Very good. Nimble with punters is such a niche pull there. All right. That's it. We all got the Patriots winning. Mike, you haven't talked in a while. How are you? Do you have anything to add?
No. I'm good.
Mike just chilling going, I don't know who Scott Simpson is.
And you shouldn't. That's totally fair.
Fantasy Twitter guy. All right. Monday night game. I would like to opt out, please. Can we somehow run this game at the same time as Buffalo Jacksonville, so nobody has to watch it.
And I wish. I don't understand why they keep subjecting us to Rodgers on the last game of the week when we don't have anything else to do.
Yeah, we have nothing else to look forward to. They're like, you're going to watch Aaron Rodgers, you're going to like it. They're testing the sicko metric. They're like, well, how many sickos are going to watch this game? Houston at Pittsburgh. Houston 12-5, Pittsburgh 10-7. Houston being on the road is definitely how this should be working. Texans 3.5-point favorites, 38.5-point over under. There's no official injury report. Same caveat I've given all year. Juwan Jordan missed practice on Friday with an ankle injury. Did I say Jawar Jordan right? I think I said Juwan Jordan.
You said Juwan. Anyways,
I did say Jawar Jordan. Danico Autry, Titus Howard, Kamari Lassiter, and Trent Brown were limited. For the
Steelers,
my brain was like Packers, Patriots. And I was like, no, it's neither of those. Jonnu Smith was popped up on an injury report as limited on Friday. Cam Hayward didn't practice, but it was a vet rest day. Isaiah Loudermilk was limited. And then two injured guys, TJ Watt with his, he got his lung popped. No restrictions there. Aaron Rodgers messed up hand, no restriction there. So they're both going to be playing on Monday. All right. My question is, I don't have a ton of numbers to this, but I did a lot of digging to get to these numbers. My question is how much is Nico Collins going to feast on these defensive backs? So what prompted this was Zay Flowers going sicko mode on the last game of the season.
Yes.
So the Steelers were 7th in fantasy points allowed to wide receivers, but I wanted to get deeper than that. 46.8% of Nico Collins's routes were either goes, digs, or crossers. Okay. Those were his three most run routes. And those three make up almost half of his routes. Against these three routes, the Steelers saw 133 targets, which ranked fifth, 84 receptions, which ranked third, 1,298 receiving yards, which was fourth, and 10 touchdowns. They allowed the fourth most fantasy points on these three routes, 273.8 fantasy points. So my question is how bad is Nico Collins going to cook them?
Real bad, I think. Collins was one of the guys I had circled, like, hey, we should probably put this dude in the lineup.
Yeah, Saquon and Nico were the guys that after I pulled these numbers, I was like, oh, those guys have to be in the lineup.
Because I don't think Houston wins a game after this, and I don't think they're going to get a better matchup for their pass offense.
Yeah, this is going to be goofy. So, Mike, what do you think? Is Nico going to cook him?
Yeah, Nico's definitely going to be cooking.
All right, let me ask this. Jaden Higgins, $4,100, less than Keenan Allen, Kayshon Booty, Romeo Doubs. Very sneaky DFS play?
Yeah, I would say so. He gets 6 touchdowns this year, I think definitely.
Yeah, he's the sneakiest.
Ooh.
He's very sneaky, sir.
What do you think? I don't know. Yeah, he's probably sneakier than Jalen Coker.
I was just going to ask to rank Jaden Higgins, Jalen Coker, and who was the third guy we talked about in that range? Christian Watson, yeah.
Well, I'd go Watson first, but then probably go Coker over Higgins.
Mike, what do you think?
Coker over Higgins. Sneaky. I'd actually go Higgins over Coker as we're talking sneaky here.
Okay. One guy we forgot to talk about. How does Parker Washington fit into this? 29 targets over his last three regular season games, 145, 115, 87 yards in those games, 2 touchdowns in the last three games. How does Parker Washington fit into this?
And I mentioned a little bit that
I like
the targets, obviously. I would figure he's probably the most expensive in terms of DFS plays. And also I think he'll have better matchups going forward in the playoffs if Jacksonville wins this game because Aaron Johnson is a really good nickel corner.
Okay. So it sounds like we're not in on Parker Washington.
No, I'm not this week.
Okay. Mike, what do you think?
I agree with Walker. Sounds reasonable to me.
All right. Parker Washington less than Ricky Pearsall this week. $5,000. He's between Ricky Pearsall and Christian Watson.
Well, in that case, go for it.
Okay. Alrighty. I'm trying to think. Don't play the running backs in any regard whatsoever. And
I wouldn't go for a sneaky CJ Stroud either.
Yeah, I wouldn't go sneaky CJ Stroud. Mike, would you go sneaky CJ Stroud? Maybe sneaky Dalton Schultz?
Maybe Schultz, but not Stroud.
Okay.
Schultz, I agree on that as well.
Yeah, Schultz in DFS is... I'll switch over to tight ends here. Dalton Schultz is the fifth most expensive tight end.
Okay.
I don't like that.
How much is he?
4,000.
Well, that's not bad. I mean, he's barely above Brenton Strange. I think that's about fair. He's been getting like 8 targets a game.
Okay. I mean, for 200 more bucks, you could have Dallas Goedert going against literally no linebackers.
That's a good point, actually.
Yeah, I would much rather have Goddard.
I did not have this information in front of me.
Yeah. Fair. Walker, you made a point. How would you, don't you feel stupid you didn't have this extra piece of information?
God damn it.
All right. Let's talk about the Steelers, shall we? Do we have to?
Kenneth Gainwell is cool. That's it.
Mike, do you concur? Kenneth Gainwell, cool.
Kenneth Gainwell is pretty cool. He catches a lot of passes out of the backfield, which I always like. So yeah, he's the Fonz for sure.
Hey,
I'm gaining well over here.
I'm gaining well. They don't call me gain poorly, but I don't want to talk about the Steelers because I'm pretty sure they're going to get their doors blown off.
I think this is going to be a really boring, like, well, maybe not boring. They're probably entertaining plays, but I think. Overall, it's going to be like a gross slog that ends up being a 2-score game at the end, like 19-10.
Ugh. Oh, God. 19-10. That's just how Mike Tomlin, it's going to be 10-12, and Mike Tomlin's going to be on the sideline and be like, we got him just where we want him. This is Steelers football. This is how I want to play.
Nico Collins catches a 35-yard touchdown, game over.
Yeah, Derek Stingley picks off Aaron Rodgers, and then the next play, 35-yard.
Yeah, exactly. Like Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter kill him in a sandwich, and Derek Stingley picks it off.
Yeah, Kenneth Gainwell, RB10 in price, $5,900 between Travion and Ramondre. He's in a little Packer sandwich or a Patriot sandwich. All right, now Packers on the brain. Number one Packers fan over here.
I think I'd rather have Travion than either of those other guys.
Okay. Mike, what do you think?
I like Travion for sure.
I would rather. In a PPR, I would rather have Kenneth Gainwell.
Well, in a PPR, I guess, but I mean, yeah. I don't know.
Well, this is DraftKings, so it's PPR.
Okay, fair enough.
So, all righty. All right. I think that's it. Nobody wants to talk about any other Steelers.
Not even DK Metcalf.
Sneaky DK Metcalf?
Not against this defense.
Sneaky DK Metcalf, who is $5,400. No, thank you.
That's not sneaky enough for me.
DK Metcalf more than, let's see, Parker Washington, Christian Watson, Khalil Shakir, BTJ, Luther Burden.
Those guys, sure, but Parker, he should not be more than Parker Washington.
No.
Imagine absolutely. Saying that at the start of the season.
Yeah, DK Metcalf should not be more than Parker Washington. BTJ, $4,700. Punt play. Not really a punt play, but sneaky DFS.
Much as Jacoby Myers.
What? Jacoby Myers is $5,500. Jacoby Myers, barely less than Ladd. We've made it, folks. All right. That's it for the Steelers. We got the Texans winning. So let's do the playoff challenge, shall we? So what this is you pick... 9 players, well, actually 8 players and a coach. You need at least 1 quarterback, 2 wide receivers, 1 tight end, and 1 defense. You can only play 1 defense and 1 quarterback. So it's between 1 and 3 running backs, 2 and 4 wide receivers, 1 and 3 tight ends. Defense, coach. So let's start. Well, let's start. I have a question. Who do we think is going to be in the championship games for the respective leagues?
Let me see. Who do I have winning? So I've got the 3, the 2, and the 5. Okay, so that'd be Eagles, Seahawks, NFC.
All birds?
Yep. And then AFC would be... would would it be? Jags would play Patriots. And Texans would play Broncos. Jags, Broncos, Redux.
Jags, Broncos, Redux. Okay, Mike, what do you think? For the championship.
Oh, that's a tough question. Philly.
Okay.
And the Rams.
Okay. Okay.
And the AFC, surprisingly, no, that wouldn't make any sense right now. New England.
Okay.
And Denver.
Okay. So the reason I'm asking this is we do not want to pick Nick Sirianni, Sean Payton, Liam Cohen, Mike Vrabel, or Sean McVay. So this tells me.
I'm thinking we should pick D'Amico Ryans.
That's where I was going.
And Texans defense, to be fair, since they're playing the Steelers.
Mike, what do you think?
I agree. Yes.
All right, let's go. D'Amico Ryans and Houston DST. Okay. I agree. I think those are both great plays. We said we were going to play Saquon. Do we all agree on Saquon?
Yes.
Oh yeah, it's your Niners are
trash.
It's not good, bud. Burnt toast.
It's bad. All right, and we're also going to burn Nico.
Nico Collins. Yes. I mean, Pittsburgh can't cover receivers. They'll shut down everything else, but Nico Collins is a freak.
Yeah, he's a monster. All right, so we need to decide. And I want some input from both of you. I'm going to make Mike answer first because Mike's been agreeing with Walker a lot this podcast.
Hard not to.
So what we do.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, our strategy is we try to use as many quarterbacks from one side of the equation as we can, one side of the bracket, so to ensure that we'll have a quarterback for the Super Bowl. Because the worst thing you could do is be like, oh, I'm going to play
Jalen Hurts this week, and then I'll play Bo Nix next week.
Yeah, and then you're in the Super Bowl. You're like, all right, I guess I'm playing Tanner McKee. Let's hope for fingers crossed for another Eagles blowout. A little Kenny Pickett action last year. All right, so these are the quarterbacks in the NFC that we have this year. We have Darnold. We have Stafford. Bryce Young. Caleb Williams. Jordan Love. Brock Purdy. Jalen Hurts. So that's the NFC side. AFC side, we've got Bonix, Josh Allen, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, Drake May, CJ Stroud, Aaron Rodgers.
And the Rodgler, yep.
The Rodgler. You know, if I could have the time, if this wasn't going out, if there wasn't Saturday games, I would definitely try to figure out how to Photoshop Aaron Rodgers onto the Rizzler. Because of that. But I don't have time. This episode's got to get out. My thought is I want to reserve the NFC quarterbacks because the AFC side, there are just so many bangers on that side. Josh Allen, Trevor Lawrence, Drake May, even Justin Herbert. CJ Stroud is okay. Bo Nix rushing touchdowns.
CJ Stroud is okay.
He's fine. He exists.
It's like that old tweet format where it's like, this guy is superlative, and then you get to the fourth one, and it just says the name, and that's it.
Here's the best thing I can say about CJ Stroud. 0% chance he has to face the best defense on his side of the bracket this year. Oh, Denver's close.
I was going to say, yeah, Denver is close, but yeah, because he sees him in practice every day.
Yeah, he sees it in practice every day. So CJ Stroud will never have to play the Texans, so that's what I can say about him. So, Mike, which side of the playoff bracket do you think you want to use?
I can go with the AFC. That's fine.
Does that sound good to you? Yeah, because there's some bangers. There's so many bangers in there. Whereas you go to the NFC side, it's all mash. What are we doing here?
I'm not really all that interested in about half of the NFC options. So I'm thinking, I think, I can't remember who brought it up, but I mean, would we go with a Josh Allen? Or is that too much for the first one?
I personally have no problem with the Josh Allen because our other options are based on who we think is going to advance, Justin Herbert or Aaron Rodgers.
Oh God. Yeah, definitely not Rodgers and Herbert with no Jalal.
But yeah.
If Buffalo does win though, like who would they face next is what I'm, because if you and I are wrong and Mike's right, would it be better off to save Josh Allen is all I'm thinking.
The Broncos. Because they're the sixth seed.
Oh.
So I don't think saving Josh Allen's a great call. Because if we don't use him this week and he wins this week, we're not going to want to use him next week because he'll win despite that. So yeah, that means we're gonna not play Josh Allen this week to hope that we play him in the championship game.
That seems silly. That seems like projecting too much.
Yeah. So, Mike, you're picking the Bills specifically because of Josh Allen. Can we get a cosign on playing Josh Allen this week?
Yeah, I was either going to go Josh Allen or Trevor Lawrence.
Okay. And because you're wrong and you think the Bills are going to win.
Fair. But if the Patriots and Jags both win, they'll play each other?
Yes.
And the Pats defense is not nearly as good as the Broncos defense.
Yeah. So maybe holding on to Trevor Lawrence is a good call.
Although Trevor Lawrence did light up the Broncos defense. So, you know,
I mean,
who knows? Maybe he's matchup proof.
Also, Trevor Lawrence lights up my life. I would just like to say,
fair.
Trevor Lawrence, let me squat you, dog. My knee will explode. All right. So
I wouldn't recommend it, bud.
Yeah, I will not be squatting Trevor Lawrence. Contrary to reports, fake news media reporting, I will be squatting quote squatting Trevor Lawrence.
Fake news.
All right. So we've got Josh Allen, Saquon, Nico, D'Amico Ryans, and the Houston DST.
I thought we had George Kittle too.
We haven't gotten there. I was going to ask if we want to put in George Kittle.
I mean, I feel like we were very hesitant on basically every other thing.
Yeah. So, Mike, you're the big 49ers hater. I'm going to wait for your cosign before I put in George Kittle.
I'm not really wanting George Kittle.
Okay. But, who are you feeling? Who are you feeling at tight end?
I like Brenton Strange.
Brenton Strange.
Okay. I do like the matchup because Buffalo's linebackers are really not good at all.
Here's my thought on not playing George Kittle. I'm just going to throw this out there. He might have to be blocking a lot.
Right. That's the only thing I'm worried about is it because Philadelphia specifically is good at defending the middle of the field.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're going to see a lot of like Cooper DeJean and Zach Bond on Kittle, which he can win those matchups, but he won't as often as he would be winning against basically any other team's players in those spots. So, I mean, yeah, he's not going to be running free like he's playing the Bears.
Yeah, I'm going to check really quick. I'm going to check George Kittle, how many routes he's been running recently. I doubt he ran very many routes against the Seahawks, so the Niners were never on the damn field. They ran like 45 plays. So against Seattle, 7 targets, 27 routes, which was a 90% route run rate. Week before that, 60 against the Colts. Week before that, 31. He hasn't been blocking. Interesting. He hasn't been run blocking or pass blocking.
Well, he might have to this week though.
Yeah, that's my only concern. Mike, I appreciate your input. I'm going to vote George Kittle.
Okay.
What about would you rather play Kittle or McCaffrey?
Since it's full PPR, I would rather play McCaffrey.
See, that's kind of what I was thinking, and I would rather go McCaffrey. I think there's less question marks there.
Okay. So how about this? We'll go McCaffrey and Brenton Strange.
That's what I was thinking.
All right, Mike, you win.
Yay!
Mike.
W.
I told you I was going to win.
I want you to look at me in my eyes in this stream right now. I need you to look yeah. at me in my eyes.
Uh-huh.
You better bend reality to your will this weekend. I know you can do it.
I'm bending.
I know you can do it. You do it all the time.
Here we all go. Right. I'm doing it.
We're doing it.
Christian McCaffrey, 10 catches, 15 catches.
Yeah. We need it. All right. 49ers lose 13-35. But Christian McCaffrey, those BPR points, though.
Christian McCaffrey, more catches than the 49ers score points.
Oh, man. All right. So we've got two running backs. We've got one wide receiver, one tight end, one quarterback, one coach, DST. I don't want to play another tight end.
No. So
that means, so we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Wait, hold on. Am I counting this right?
We have seven players.
We need two flexes.
And one of them has to be a receiver, right?
Yes. One receiver, one flex. You are correct, Walker.
Okay.
Walker, you did all the research. Wow us with the wide receiver we should be playing.
Well, based on what we've got going on here, I think because we've talked about how bad the whole episode that Chicago's defense is, I think that we should be preying on a back foot moon ball, Jordan Love to Christian Watson style.
All right. Mike, how do you feel about a back foot moon ball, Jordan Love to Christian Watson?
Oh, it's Love. I thought it was Malik Willis who's starting this week.
Oh, no. Jordan Love's back.
Oh, yes? Okay.
Yeah.
Where did I read that? I swear I read that Malik Willis was starting. Okay. Mike's
getting his news from AI again.
I guess
oh,
so.
Oh, no.
Damn AI. I like that. Moonball. Let's do the moonball.
Christian Watson moonball?
Yeah, I like that.
How about this? Christian Watson moonball. Moonwalk into the end zone.
Let's do it.
All right. So we have, we can play one running back or another wide receiver or another tight end.
My vote is, I guess, the first guy I mentioned in the podcast, Blake Corum.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I thought that was a great call to burn Blake Corum. Mike?
Blake.
All right, Mike agrees. We're going to burn Blake Corum. Or Mike just said Blake Corum's first name. I'm not sure which it was.
But Lockett.
All right.
Maybe he said Balake. Maybe he said Flake, like the British candy.
Or like the thing that makes your car shine, Metal Flake.
Metal Flake. That they put that in disc golf discs too sometimes.
Ooh. Little shiny.
Oh yeah, it makes them look really fucking cool, I will say.
The thing that I love that makes cars look really cool is the pearl. The pearl.
Oh acid. Yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
I love me some Pearl. I love Pearl way more than matte. People are really going into matte finishes.
Don't I
think
like
they're
a matte on a car. No.
No, it's gross. People think it looks like distinctive and like refined. Nah, get it out of here. All the G-Wagons I see are freaking matte finishes. Get out of here with your $150,000 car with 10 cent brain on the paint.
G-Wagon, right. Forest green, Pearl.
Ooh, Pearl forest green. I like that call. That's like a Subaru color, though. Is that pearl forest green?
Yeah, oh, I would like that on a. I want a like forest green Cadillac car.
Ooh, we just had a forest green metallic Audi. It looked pretty nice.
Ooh, damn.
Yeah, Q8, I think it looked really nice.
That's crazy. I would like to see that.
Yeah, I would like to see that. That's the one thing about my job. I see a lot of cool cars. All right, so the lineup. Back to focus. Back to reality. Back to things that matter. Playoff challenge. All right. So we are football. Fantasy football. Back to real things. Fantasy. We are running D'Amico Ryans. Josh. Not Hines Allen. Just regular Josh Allen. Josh Allen Prime. Blake Corum. And then two other backs. Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley, if you've ever heard of him. Christian Watson. Nico Collins. Brenton Strange. And the Houston DST. Lineup. Are you sure you want to submit this lineup? You bet your fucking ass I am.
Oh yeah.
lineup submitted. my default at catcher, D'Amico Ryans. Cause it's just, see, I was like, wait, hold on. All right, at catcher, Houston Astros, D'Amico Ryans.
I do feel like D'Amico probably could do it.
How tall is he? I think he's too tall.
Well, Joe Mauer.
He's going to be Joe Mauer back there. Yeah, we both went to Joe Mauer. 6'1". No, perfectly fine.
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah.
Perfectly fine catcher height. That's, I think, one of the Contreras' brothers' height.
Who can say? William.
If there's only any way to look it up. Grinding the podcast to halt, Googling Wilson Contreras' height.
Welcome back to Baseball Absurdity.
Oh, Wilson Contreras, 6'1". Nailed it.
Wow.
Nailed it. All right, perfect. All right. On that note, we'll be ending the episode. Next week, less yapping, more football.
Football. I don't know if that's true, because there's going to be less games.
No, it's the same number of games.
Oh, yeah, because the bye teams come back in.
Yeah, because the bye teams. Yeah. And then we got to talk about these games.
Oh, it isn't. No. It's not the same amount of games. It goes from 6 to 4.
It does go. Oh, you're right. It does go from 6 to 4. That was the old format with the 2 byes.
Right.
Yeah. They should call this like Super Wildcard Weekend or something. Folks, thanks for listening to the Football Absurdity Podcast. We'll be back next week to talk we're going to review the wildcard. We're going to talk divisional round. And we're going to make another lineup. So for Walker and Mike, this is Jeff. Thanks for listening. Take care and have a good one.
Bye.
Mike McDaniel, 2026.